I will now call the Thursday, November 20th, 2025 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Commissioner Brodsky, may we please have a roll call? Just go back to her.
Okay.
And I apologize. I forgot to see, look back to see who voted first. Give me 2 seconds.
I did last time.
You did? Thank you.
Perfect.
Commissioner Stanton, you are first this round. So, Commissioner Stanton. Are you here?
Here. Oh, you did a roll call. Okay.
Commissioner Stockton.
Here.
Commissioner Walters.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson is absent. I am here. Commissioner Dar.
Here.
Commissioner Galway Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Gray.
Here.
And Commissioner Ortiz.
Here.
We have a quorum of 8.
Thank you very much. Are there any changes to our agenda this evening, Mr. Zinner?
No, there are not.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Ortiz. Is there a thumbs up approval on the agenda? Unanimous. We all received, and there was publicly distributed, the November 6th minutes of our regular meeting. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes from November 6, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Ortiz. Is there thumbs up approval of the minutes? Unanimous with Commissioners Stockton and Gray abstaining. Thank you. Moving to our first case for the evening, case number 284-2025, a request by Crockett Engineering Agent on behalf of Consolidated Public Water Supply District Number 1 owner for approval of a one-lot final major plat of IG Industrial General Zoned Property to be known as Consolidated Water Plat Number 1 and a design adjustment from Section 29-5.1D regarding construction of sidewalks. The approximately 3.56-acre subject site is located northeast of the intersection of Nebraska Avenue and 7th Street and includes the address 1500 North 7th Street. This item was previously tabled at the October 23rd, 2025 Planning Commission meeting. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may, Madam Chair. Thank you for that introduction. So we re-noticed or we re-advertised this case because it was tabled for the required amount of time that we'd have to re-advertise. So we sent back out postcards on October 21st, sent out 19 letters on November 3rd, and ran another ad in the Tribune on November 4th. Here's an aerial view of the subject site that is Providence on the western side and Rangeline on the east, as well as the I-70 corridor there to the north. This is on the northern end of North 7th Street. The street terminates about halfway up the western portion of the subject site. So a little bit of background here. Consolidated Water owns the current property. They are looking to construct additional improvements on their IG-zoned property. It's accessed off of 7th Street. Because it was created via a tract split, it is not currently considered a legal lot per our definition of the UDC. So this platting action is looking to correct that, so that way they may be able to pull building permits. They have driveway access off of North 7th. And North 7th, this specific portion of it, was created via street easement. It was not fully built out along the western portion of the site, and as such, no sidewalks were ever constructed as well. And as mentioned, they are requesting a one-lot final plat and a partial waiver for sidewalks along that western portion of the site. To correct the street easement issue, they are looking to dedicate right-of-way along that western portion for the full length to remedy that with this platting action as well. The applicant will not be required to build any of that street out. That will be on the city side in order to finish. They are dedicating a 20-foot utility easement along the north side and a 10-foot along the western side. Part of that process was moving a private electric utility easement. They had to vacate the easement because it extended out into the portion of the right-of-way that they were being dedicated to. It runs from the BEC building there to the east, and along the top kind of truncates the curb, on the northwest side, and then runs directly to the building. So what they ended up doing is they ended up moving that electric line into the public utility, which our legal counsel looked at and said that was all well and good. So that's out of the way for a right-of-way dedication, so that way we may go through and do any improvements that we may need to. With this plat, they are looking to seek a design adjustment waiving part of the sidewalk construction. The property to the north is owned by Boone County Electric, and may be affected by MoDOT's current I-70 corridor expansion project, which the details of which will be published beginning of next year, if we are understanding it correctly. So at this time, we really don't know what North 7th Street is going to look like. They may extend it out to the northern portion of the site, may not, depends on what that ends up looking like. So what we discussed with the applicant and what they are willing to do is a partial payment in lieu for everything to the north of where the street currently terminates and to build out sidewalks on the southern portion of the site, given that this plat is approved. So with that payment in lieu, if we end up extending the street, we can go ahead and build that ourselves as the city. If we don't, then we can take that chunk of change and we can go ahead and use that somewhere else along the business loop corridor to further expand and connect the patchwork sidewalk network that currently exists over there. Per our analysis as staff of the design adjustment criteria within the UDC, we support a partial waiver of sidewalk construction. The construction of sidewalks beyond where the street is currently built yet may not yield any potential benefits in the short or long term, and it doesn't seem like super necessary at this time. It also gives us a little bit of leeway for the future as to what that sidewalk network actually ends up looking like. Given the surrounding developments and the potential I-70 corridor improvements, and the applicant's willingness to take part of some of the sidewalk construction, staff took a look at everything that was bestowed in front of us and said this is probably the most appropriate way forward to address that specific requirement of a subdivision action. So in conclusion, the UDC design adjustment criteria supports partial waiver of the sidewalk construction requirements, and this plat would grant legal status upon the lot, which would then mean that Consolidated Water could continue to request building permits for expansion of existing facilities on the site. So staff's recommendation is to approve the requested partial design adjustment to waive requirements for sidewalk construction and dedication. Oh, it's not the and dedication. They're not waiving any dedication. I apologize on that. They are just waiving the sidewalks along the western right-of-way on North 7th, pursuant to Section 29.5.1. And they the recommendation to approve the requested two-lot final plat to be known as Consolidated Water Plat Number 1. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff? Go ahead, Commissioner Ortiz.
I'm confused on what the recommendation is because on the screen it doesn't say anything about the pay in lieu.
I apologize for that. So if you would like, I can go ahead and read it directly from the staff report.
Which I have it pulled up, but maybe okay. It might be helpful for others.
Yeah, if you'd like me just for the record to read exactly from the staff report, I can go ahead and do that just
Thank
so that
you.
Way. Yeah. So the design adjustment portion is to approve the requested design adjustment to partially waive the requirement that sidewalks be constructed along the site's North 7th Street frontage, subject to a payment in lieu in the amount of $23,653.17 prior to recording of the final plat with the recorder of deeds. So if you've got that pulled up, I can also pass along my copy as well if that helps. I apologize for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we will close public comment, close staff report and go to public comment. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record. We do 6 minutes for the applicant in groups, 3 minutes for individuals.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. I believe Mr. Orndorff did a good job summarizing this plat that's before you tonight. It's a straightforward final plat with, of course, the sidewalk variance that goes along with it. The sidewalk, this is a little bit different than what you've seen before. My client is proposing to build the sidewalk adjacent to the existing 7th Street. So the portion that is there, the streets that's there, we'll put sidewalk in that portion. But the portion we're asking for the design adjustment for is for the section that doesn't have any 7th Street. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, we believe, to install a sidewalk adjacent to no street. Consequently, we are agreeing to the payment in lieu of $23,653. We believe that makes sense. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Are there any questions for this speaker? Go ahead, Commissioner Walters.
I guess I should have asked staff because on the written report, it says requested one-lot final plat, and on this screen it says requested two-lot final plat.
I apologize. It is a one-lot plat.
That's one lot. Okay. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a way to adjust the slides midstream. Otherwise, I would suggest it, but it's okay. You don't have to. Just since, you know, I know we've got fans out there who are watching it. Okay, any other members of the public to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will now close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments? Seeing none, would someone like to make a motion? I suggest reading it off the staff report.
Is it one at a time, or is it we can do both?
Jesse, do you want two votes or one?
Let's do
design adjustment and then.
Yes. Yeah. Just for just, plat. Yes, please. Yeah. Let's do that.
Design adjustment and then plat. Two votes.
As it relates to case 284/2025. Oh, 1500.
Sorry, of course, one card falls and the entire house falls.
No, it's okay. 1500. North 7th Street. I move to approve the requested design adjustment to partially waive the requirement that sidewalk be constructed along the site's North 7th Street frontage, subject to the payment of a fee in lieu in the amount of $23,653.17 prior to recording of the final plat with the recorder of deeds.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Ortiz, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Is there any discussion on the motion? I will just say that in a rare move, I will actually be voting in favor of this sidewalk waiver for the sole reason that there is not a street there yet. I know I'm usually a pretty reliable no vote on sidewalk waivers, but thought I would make that comment for the record. Commissioner Ortiz?
As a just piggybacking off of what you're saying, I plan to support this as well. I think there are many places in that area that could be well served by a sidewalk, but this is not one.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Brodsky, when you're ready, may we have a roll call on the design adjustment?
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Stockton?
Yes.
Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson is absent. My vote is yes. Commissioner Darr?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Gray?
Yes.
And Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Would someone like to make a motion on the platting action?
All right, don't press control save.
You did so well the first time, Commissioner Ortiz. Would you like to do so?
Commissioner Ortiz, you started it.
Okay. What do I say?
You moved to approve the requested.
Oh, I moved to approve I can't do it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I can do it.
Go ahead, Commissioner Walters.
Well, the screen just disappeared.
One moment. Sorry.
Okay, I'll just read it right here. I just don't have the case number. Regarding case number 284-2025, I move to approve the recommended one-lot final plat to be known as Consolidated Water, plat number one, subject to technical corrections.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Walters, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Brodsky, when you're ready, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Stockton?
Yes.
Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson is absent. My vote is yes. Commissioner Darr?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Gray?
Yes.
And Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council, and my apologies to Curtis for throwing everything up in the air. I did not mean to do that to you.
You got it right the first time. You're good.
All right, moving on to our next case. case for the evening, case number 06-2026, a request by Dominique and Stephanie Lee, owners for approval to rezone 0.43 acres of property from PD Plan Development to MOF Mixed Use Office to allow the existing home on the subject property to be used for future business endeavors. The subject site is located at the northeast corner of North Old Highway 63 and East Walnut and includes the address 202 North Old Highway 63. May we please have a staff report?
I will try my best. Public notification, we sent out postcards on October 21st. We sent out 20 letters on November 3rd, and we ran an ad in the Tribune on November 4th. Here's an aerial view of the subject site. This is, again, on the northeast corner of East Walnut and Old 63, so just north of Stevens Lake Park and the horse stable that is there to the west. So the owners originally approached us looking to see how easily they could get a short-term rental in the existing single-family home that's on the site. Personally, the analysis by staff, the current zoning was approved in 1998 for limited office planned district uses at the time. They basically took the O1 that existed in 1998 and limited it down to very limited scope given the surrounding conditions and the existing home on the site. They were rezoning it mostly as future proofing, or they used a term thinking ahead in the minutes from the city council meeting, just trying to rezone it so that way when they went to sell it in 10 to 20 years after that action, they would be ready to go to make it a little bit more congruent with the existing site. It's surrounded by R1 to the south and southeast, which is Stevens Lake Park. It's surrounded by MOF to the east and RMF to the north and west. Those MOF properties are a healthcare facility that I believe that does inpatient mental health care and things of the sort. We did discuss mixed-use corridor and mixed-use neighborhood zonings, but deemed way too intense of a use at this site given the surrounding conditions and what was in the city council minutes. So as we took a look at that, we do acknowledge that MOF is more intense than the currently permitted PD uses. However, doing so would get this site more in congruence with the goals of the UDC and Columbia Imagined. So the site is accessed via a loop driveway that connects Old 63 to East Walnut, and it goes eastbound and then turns south and connects to East Walnut. Now, I do want to make clear that a rezoning at this case would not instantly permit a short-term rental. They do still have to make that request once this case is decided upon. We're simply discussing the merits of if MOF is appropriate at the site, which would grant them STR uses, which is what they're trying to do. But I did want to make sure that we made that clear just because they could turn around at some point and sell this, and it could become an office with this zoning. So in conclusion, staff supports a MOF zoning because we do think it is appropriate given the applicant's intent of use in the surrounding context, and the STR use that they are looking to achieve would still have to be applied for separately from this request. Staff's recommendation is to approve the request to rezone 0.43 acres from PD to mixed use office. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff. Commissioner Gray.
Thank you. Could you say a little bit more about the MC and MN uses being too intense? Is that in terms of like by right permitted use or?
Yes, that's correct. So like with MC, they could build a drive-through restaurant. They could build up to 45 feet in height for the building. We just deemed that given that it's surrounded by mostly residential and office space, given the current access that they'd be permitted to keep. We don't really want people taking a left-hand corner commonly at that site off of Old 63 onto that. So given the considerations of what would be permitted by right, we decided that MOF would be most appropriate here.
Thank you.
Any further questions for staff? Seeing none, we will go to public comment. Any members of the public who wish to speak on this case, please come forward.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dominic Lee. I live at 202 Old 63 North, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might have at this time. But thank you for the recommendation.
Sure. Are there any questions for the speaker?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you. Anyone else who wishes to speak on this case, please come forward.
DDoCKin 804 Agin, and I'm not opposed to this at all, but I am wondering, did I hear right that Stevens Park is R1? I think this is an issue that needs to be dealt with, changing these to open space zoning. Gans Creek Recreation Area also is still R1. And it's confusing to say, oh, there's R1 to the south, and I didn't know what they were talking about, and it's actually open space, a park, and should be zoned that way. So I don't know. Is that something that Parks has to initiate, or? Anyway, that's a question I have. Thank you.
I'm making a note. Thank you, Ms. Dawkins. Any other member of the public to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments? Seeing none, would anyone like to make a motion? Commissioners, Stan.
I would like to entertain a motion, if you like.
Please.
As it relates to case 06-2026 for 202 North 063 rezoning, I move to approve the request to rezone 0.43 acres from PD, plan development, to MOF, mixed-use office.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Brodsky, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Stockton.
Yes.
Commissioner Walters.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Darr.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Gray?
Yes.
And Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. For our final case of the evening, case number 11-2026, a request by Paula Clayton, agent, on behalf of Jennifer Hemphill and Paula Clayton owners to allow 411 McBain Avenue to be used as a 210-night maximum six-guest short-term rental STR pursuant to Section 29-3.3VV and Section 29-6.4M2 of the Unified Development Code. The three-bedroom, two-bath home has an attached one-car garage and driveway capacity to support one UDC-compliant on-site parking space. If the application is approved, the applicant will need to install one additional UDC-compliant parking space in order to accommodate the requested six guests. Until the parking space is installed, the maximum number of guests the property can support is four. The 0.2-acre subject site is located on the west side of McBain Avenue, approximately 35 feet south of its intersection with Lincoln Drive. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you for the introduction, Madam Chair. Just to elaborate on this a little bit, we sent out early notification postcards alerting the surrounding neighbors and property owners of this matter on the 20th of October. We sent out 52 public hearing letters on the 3rd of November, and an ad was also ran in the Tribune on the 4th of November. This is the aerial of the site, highlighted in red here. The subject is a three-bedroom, single-family home, zoned on an RMF zoned lot. The properties to the north, south, and east are also RMF zoned, and the properties to the west are zoned R2. McBain Avenue is a 28-foot wide local residential road that has sidewalks installed on both sides and also permits parking on both sides. This site with the six requested transient guests requires three parking spaces. That would be by one in the one parking space being in the driveway, one parking space being in the garage, and having to add an additional space on the site in order to accommodate the six guests. And until that point, it would only be allowed to accommodate four. The site has not previously been offered as a short-term rental, and there are no additional short-term rentals within 300 feet of this site. 29 of the 38 parcels within 185 feet of the subject site are used for rental purposes. The designated agent, according to the applicant, lives in Columbia, 3.6 miles away, or roughly 11 minutes. We received two letters in opposition and one phone call. The first letter in opposition stated there would be insufficient parking on the site. I wrote back to the individual explaining the regulations because they seemed a little confused, and also noted that one additional space would need to be added to accommodate the six guests to them. The second letter stated they would prefer the home to be converted, not converted into a short-term rental, but rather a stay as a long-term, or rather be used as a for a family in a long-term rental scenario rather than short-term. And also received a phone call this afternoon from the property owner of 418 Alexander Avenue, stating the privacy fence abutting 411 McBain and 418 Alexander Avenue is rotting, and that she'd prefer to see it fixed, and that she is willing to pitch in the costs with the owner of 411 McBain to see it done so. And that she also noted that she wouldn't have an issue with the short-term rental if that were to be fixed. And furthermore, there are no violations on record for this property. In conclusion, the conditional use permit analysis supports technical approval. The short-term rental regulations provide an oversight means to address impacts, and approval supports broad policy strategies and actions of the comprehensive plan. Our recommendation is to approve the requested short-term rental subject to a maximum occupancy of 4 transient guests until 1 additional parking space is added, allowing up to 6 guests, and a maximum of 210 nights of annual rental usage, and a condition that the 1-car garage be made available when the dwelling is used for short-term rental purposes. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had any contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff. I had one question. This is not the applicant's primary residence.
No, it is not.
Do we know if it's, and it doesn't have a rental certificate, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all. Commissioner Ortiz?
Can you speak to whether this was built as part of an affordable housing initiative? Do you know anything about that?
I'm not aware of that, but that was noted in that one letter of opposition that you have access to, but I do not know the background on this history of this area.
Mr. Zinner, do you recall?
I do not. I know who the former property owner was, and I don't believe it was built using an affordable housing initiative process, but okay. I don't have direct information to support that it was offered a fee reduction or something of that nature.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for staff? I'm so sorry. Commissioner Stanton, please.
If an additional parking space were to be provided, how and where?
I believe the standard is it cannot take up 30% of the front yard or 500 feet, the greater of the two. So it couldn't be greater than 500 square feet, the combined driveway, or 30% of the front yard.
Basically, based on the photography that was provided, it would be to the south of the existing driveway.
Between the two houses cut off to the side?
It would be to the left side of the existing drive that is here today. There would also be a required driveway approach expansion, which would require a proper city permitting to do so.
Any other questions? I have a question for legal. With these CUP requests, we can make modifications, correct? Or do we have to take them or leave them as presented by staff?
You're not referring to the criteria. You're just talking about to any sort of
the conditions.
Oh yes, there is. Yeah, yeah. This commission does have allowed to do that.
We could say 4 period, and that's it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that we weren't limited. I know in some cases we are.
As long as it doesn't run afoul of the ordinance as written. I mean, we can't grant less than.
Yeah. Certainly, yeah. Commissioner Stanton.
And to piggyback on that, so that would be a conversation between the owner up here to say they want us to vote it as it is or vote our potential recommendation. How will we do
that? I mean, that conversation could be had with the applicant, right. See if there could be.
That's what I didn't know. Okay.
Any other, Commissioner Walters?
Oh, also, I have a question for you for legal. Is there any history of projects like suggested in the opposition letter of restricting the use here? Could there be any deed restrictions or covenants that could preclude or disallow this to be used as is being requested tonight? Is it possible? I'm not asking, do you know if it's relevant, but is it possible?
I don't believe so. I've never heard of such a thing. If there are, I mean, that's if that wasn't in, I believe the deed would have been submitted with the application, correct?
Yes, it would have been. I mean, but a deed restriction is not something that the city would generally be enforcing.
And yeah, that's also
okay. Okay.
Mr. Zinner is correct on that.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Stanton.
My experience is this. I'm not 200% sure about this house. If Jai Point didn't build it, I think someone else did. And so if the original owner, there would be a time frame in which that person has to live in the home, blah, blah, blah. If it changed hands in ownership, you know, as long as they stay with it, I think it may be 5, 10 years, whatever. I'm almost willing to bet this is like a Jai Point or a school home or something like that at one time. Now, for them to come about now, I think that time may have expired. That's that. I couldn't get an exact answer. I was trying to get an answer for if that was a...
I believe it was, Commissioner Stanton, a Jai Point home at one point, based on deed records. Okay. Any other questions for staff or seeking clarification from legal? Seeing none, we will go to public comment. Any members of the public who wish to come forward, please come forward. You guys got to fight it out. Let's go. Come on. Somebody. Anybody. name and address for the record and get as close to that microphone as you feel comfortable.
Especially with a mask on, eh?
Yes.
My name is Paula Clayton. So I am representing Jenny, my wife, and I are the applicants for this. And yes, it was a Jai Point. And then the previous owner has lived there since 2011. And I don't know that he was there much because he had absolutely not much in the way of gas or electric bills. We would like to do the four applicants. We were doing the driveway thing. I think, Mr. Zenner, you had suggested that as a just in case, even if we don't go ahead and do it, but get the, so it would save doing another meeting and another application process later on if we did decide to go. But yeah, we'd like to be here as soon as possible.
Ms. Cleveland, two things. Could you state your address for the record?
Oh, I am sorry. Yes, address is 411 McBain Avenue. I've been coming back and forth doing stuff on the house.
Okay, and secondly, could you get a little bit closer to the mic
so we can
get an accurate record here?
And home address is 3653 North Laramie Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60641.
Thank you. Commissioner Stanton, go ahead.
You don't live at 411 McBain?
I live at 411. No, live in Chicago.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, want to keep coming back here because we want to retire here. 5 to 10 years, hopefully 2 years, I think. But if we keep coming back, we get used to it. We get used to community. We've got family here. We spend more time here. You know, we see how the house is. We did the Airbnb because we didn't want it to be empty. But we don't want it to be that we can't come back and live there and adjust, you know, to the idea. Jenny, my wife, she's a teacher. Oh, the other thing was with the fence thing, I did call Rebecca today and, sorry, nervous in front of people. the back neighbor, and she has a neighbor who does fencing, and she's going to get a quote from him, so we'll split the cost with that. So, yeah.
Other questions for the speaker? I have a question. Have you ever done any of this Airbnb kind of business before?
Nope. It's all a complete new thing. But okay. Our co-host, Jessica, she has, so we will do what she says with, you know, you need to do this, you don't need to do that, you know.
Understand, yeah.
I have also talked to the neighbors either side who are both renting Kirsten on our south, and I think his name's Connor, and Emily on the north. They're both okay, but I didn't get them to call. And they've got my phone number, so that if there's anybody who was a twit who's there, and, you know, in the Airbnb place, that they can contact us as well, and we can get hold of Jessica. But just so we, yeah.
My other question. Oh, if sorry. Been a long, long day, but the front yard is quite small. If we said you could only have four guests at a time, would that be okay with you?
Yep.
Okay. Just so your whole front yard is not...
I know, yeah. It doesn't appeal to me either. I like gardening and I like growing things, so yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, Commissioner Walters?
I think I missed this, but where is the person who gets a phone call in case there's an issue here?
And Jessica?
And how close do you live? I may have missed this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where does the agent, the person responsible for it, where does she live?
Okay. We can't.
Could you state where she lives for us?
She lives by Macadoodles, about 3.5 miles away, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank
appreciate
you.
That. Any other questions for this speaker? Commissioner Stanton.
Are you German, by chance?
New Zealand, no.
Zealand, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I got the accent wrong. I was going to spit some German to you, but okay.
No, I can do an imitation.
This is my biggest issue.
Yeah.
Biggest.
Yep.
Number one, this is in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Number two, I think I helped build this house.
Really. Awesome. Awesome. Really. Can I grill you later?
And the neighborhood is historic.
Yeah. Else isn't.
And I'm not opposed to it being used as a short-term rental. But my fear is you're a rookie at it, which is a beginner, a novice.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your whoever, for me to get a vote, a yes vote, have to convince me that you have all your bases covered if we were to allow it to be a short-term rental. I need to know, like my colleague asked, stuff hits, he stole my question, so I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, rude.
If the stuff hits the fan and I need to call somebody, who do I call and how fast are they going to get there?
Yep.
That's.
Can I get Jessica up here?
Well, maybe she can speak
come
after,
up later.
After we talk to you.
Yep.
So I need to be convinced of those things. I need to be convinced of... I am only going to support this if it's only four, because I do not want the additional concrete. That's my point of view.
Yep.
My opinion.
Yeah.
My vote is if I'm comfortable with four transient guests. And it's going to be maintained. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a strong rental policy. I mean, I need to be convinced you have all these ducks in a row. That's what I need.
Yeah. I like the eco thing, too. So I really want to do the, doing things around there like it's a, you know how you have Airbnb things and they're like a theme? So I think, eco, gardening, all that, which the whole thing of having another driveway doesn't really appeal, except for the, hey, make the ends meet with the bills. With the, you know, as far as bills go, that appeals. But, Jessica, for the being onto it. Is that so it would be the no concrete and better be on top of stuff when it happens?
Still open to hear some more stuff.
I'm
done.
Any other questions? Last one. I'm sorry. We're not trying to beat you up. How often are you down here?
I don't know. I don't know. We've got family in town, so this means we now want to come here and do more vacations with them. and be here. I want to be here as much as I can. I'm more ready to retire than Jenny is. She's got a job that she loves. She's a teacher.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know.
Just curious. Any other questions? Commissioner Ortiz?
Do you think that any of your family here in Columbia would be willing to be your designated agent in the future?
Yeah, though I think Jessica's probably a better one to be because she's got the experience and she's more like...
Okay.
She's got the experience and the connection. She knows what she's doing. She's all good with the, oh, yeah, we'll get that onto it. Yeah. Okay. Whereas family is, they're doing their own jobs. It'd be like, oh, you know, something else they have to deal with.
Okay.
So I'd rather have the one who does it as her thing mm-hmm. than someone who, oh, yeah, I'm really connected to you, and now you're going to resent me for it. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Seeing none. Thank you so much.
Ma'am.
Thank you. Next speaker on this case, please come forward.
I'm Ben.
Nate, start with your name and address for the record in the microphone, please.
I'm Ben Falby, and I live at 407 McBain, which is like two houses down from that one. I did email you, and it was a pleasant exchange. Y'all bought the house. Paula, you bought the house. I'm expecting Paula to be my neighbor at some point. So this needs to go well for me. If there weren't a sign in front of the house right now, I don't think I would have come, to be honest with you. But I thought about it more. It was built by Job Point. You did help build it. I've lived in Columbia and in that neighborhood for about 20 years now. I don't have rights to it like you do, probably. Actually, definitely. But, you know, I'm rather partial to the neighborhood at this point. Because there's a sign up front, you're telling us that apparently we have a community-level stake in how this space is used. And because of that, we have to make a decision about whether we want this to be used in this way, right? So three houses south of me, Carmelita, Ray, and Summer are moving away because they can't rent on my block anymore, right? And they can't rent on the block anymore because the houses are going away. Now, Carmelita's mother-in-law lives two more blocks west of that, and now Summer can't see her grandma as frequently. That has nothing to do with this, right? But it does get at a bigger problem, which is when we turn our affordable housing, which we built that, when we turn this into a space like that, we're putting downward pressure on this community to try to find a place to live. And we're struggling. We all know we're struggling here related to homelessness. And it just keeps pushing it down. And I would love to have somebody living there. Hey, maybe Carmelita, Ray, and Summer, I don't know. But if it's going to be 5-10 years before my new good neighbor moves in, let's just keep it there so that some other family can live there in the meantime. I mean, like, it's strange to me that we decided as a community we wanted to build something so that people could live in the central city, and then we go around and turn and we're, like, getting rid of that. It's ironic. Like, I don't know. I have missed my job twice in the evenings teaching GED classes in the last 7 years. I got a sub tonight, so... I don't know. You guys got any questions for me?
Any questions for the speaker, Commissioner Stanton?
Ben, how you doing, sir?
What's up?
I completely agree with everything you said. I also agree that the owner has a right to use their property. Now, if they have reached the statute of limitations of our draw point build, and they're supposed to stay there for 5 or 10 years and they can sell it. This is kind of the nightmare that we all look for. Yep. You know, like, dang, we build affordable housing and in 5 years it could be back in the situation that we're trying to prevent. You know, That's
I mean, I would say 5 or 10 years ago when it was built, we didn't anticipate the situation.
Yes,
because you're correct. This happened after the advent of internet services that allow you to do such a thing. So I don't think we thought this could happen at all when this was built.
Right.
In fact, the way affordable housing has been approached in town has changed dramatically, you know, land trust and whatnot. I don't know if the city would support the model that created that house in the first place. It is painful, though, to know the intent, to know the community this well, to know that money can be made off of this property. I'm certainly not against investment. I'm not. And I'm not against the right, you know, like, this sounds like a way that you're going to plan for your future. And that makes sense to me, right? But it doesn't have to be like this. You guys get to choose that. You got to be the ones responsible for that.
Oh, so are you opposed to short-term rentals, period, or just here?
Oof. No. No, because it's just too much of a too big of a blanket. I can't do that. I'm here about 411 McBain. I'm here about Debbie, my neighbor to the south, Carmelita, my former neighbor, four doors to the south, Tim, who lives in a door, north of that. No, I can't go there. I'm just talking about here. I'm talking about the history of that property. I'm talking about this story, the story I just happen to know really well.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ortiz and then Commissioner Dar.
Would you tell me about 411 McBain from like an infrastructure point of view? Not from the housing, but like tell me about the property and like what makes that spot not a good space for a short-term rental, in your opinion?
My students have to move north of town now because there isn't a place to live in the central city. And this place is in the middle of town, right? You don't need the resources you need in the middle of town. You don't need those same resources. You don't have to find those resources when you live in the middle of town. I'm thinking like how the bus line works. I'm thinking about the proximity to Aldi's, Gerb's, the business loop, just everything. It's still relatively walkable. And so it's bizarre that, again, we will be effectively pushing some family out of that opportunity, right? And let's say it's not the family I have in mind. The movement of any family then pushes another family just further north or further east, right? Which is what's happened. That's what's happened in this town. And this is how it happens. So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
So there's only certain criteria that we really can look at when we're looking at a short-term rental conditional use permit. And what you're talking about.
I mean, if
about,
you're asking about parking, I don't care about parking, man. Like, honestly, the block to the west of me put in speed bumps because they can afford to spend the time to create speed bumps. My block, you know what the speed bumps are? It's the cars, you know?
So it's, what I'm hearing is you have a problem with people speeding on your block?
Yeah.
And is there.
Actually, my car's been hit twice, but.
And what else is on your block that might.
You mean the daycare?
Oh, okay. There's a daycare.
Yeah, there's a daycare. There's a daycare that, I don't know, it serves probably 50 to 70 kids.
And would. I can't.
I don't know where you're going with this. Okay. I mean, I can tell you everything you want to know. I know about the footprint in the driveway. That footprint was left by a youth build student who helped build it. Like, they never sanded off the paint. I mean, I don't know. I can tell you anything you want to know about the place. but I don't, you know. I mean, my big objection is straight up related to affordable housing and its availability. Certainly not to making money. It's not, you know, I get that, you know. In fact, if you want to move sooner, I would be thrilled. But this is not how we want to do this.
Thank you.
Commissioner Dar.
I was kind of following up with what you said. Do you believe there's adequate parking on the street? Do you find yourself not being able to find a place to park?
So You mentioned Kirsten, who lives to the south. So Tyler owns the house. He's the one who sent the parking complaint. So he's concerned about parking. I don't know. Am I concerned about parking? Sure. I don't know. That's a hard one for me. I don't care about parking. This is not a NIMBY thing for me. This is like a, it's just not. It's not a NIMBY thing. I mean, I double park. Like, sometimes I pull out a car to pull in a car. Like, sometimes Debbie parks in my driveway a little bit. So does her son. I don't know. Like, I ain't worried about parking. But you know, I know y'all are, but I ain't worried about that. So.
Any other questions? Commissioner Walters?
I think it's maybe useful to point out that, you know, just as you're talking about some of your neighbors being displaced because rent's rising, don't you assume the same thing would happen here? If this were a long-term rental, chances are the rent here would go up and there'd still be issues for people.
Yes.
Affordability.
However, there'd be one more place for a person to live who actually wants to be in Columbia right now. And that does have cascading effects.
Well, I agree.
So you're
that.
Right.
I agree
it
with that.
It would push up the rent just by having, like, that's just the course of time. But again, what pushes up housing prices and rental prices? It's the amount of housing stock. And every time we'll slap an STR label on this, and we're going to do it sometimes. You asked me if I was just opposed outright. I don't know if I am. I've never been here before. But that's what we're doing. Like, we are going to make it slightly more difficult for people who intend to live here to find a place, which will keep, it just keeps pushing.
It's kind of a macro argument, which this commission has dealt with for years, and now it's also we're pointing out that some of the people who use SDRs are not tourists, and they're not here for 3 days. Sometimes they're here for weeks or months, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're here because they're maybe 2 or 3 months, and so anyway.
Right.
I just think we need to broaden our ideas of what could happen here. And it is a problem. Affordable housing certainly is a problem. I'm not trying to dismiss it, but I just think it's maybe unfair to load that all onto this property here and have it dominate the discussion. That's my opinion.
Any other questions? Commissioner Stanton?
My colleagues' points are valid, but definitely a big issue. Mr. Falb is right. Across the board, and it's, you can never, I'm not opposed to it being SDR myself. I'm not, because it, to me, it goes back to my original argument when we started this whole conversation. This is an ability for somebody who owns a piece of property to make an extra buck and increase family wealth. My vote will be depend on if I trust the system behind it to make it still a good place in my neighborhood. If I'm not convinced that the agent or the system that is in place to watch this STR and protect the interest of all the neighbors and all the fears, if I'm not convinced of that, I will vote no. But it's not the principle of their right to do so. It's, do I have faith that it will be done in a way that will not put a smile on Mr. Falvey's face, but we will equally be ticked off, which is a perfect compromise. So that's where I'm at.
Anyone else? Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate it. You're good. Thank you. Next, please come forward. Name and address for the record.
My name is Barbie Banks. I live at 215 West Ash, which is just down the street from this one. I also sent an email to Paula and Jenny. And I don't think there is probably much that you can do as commissioners to not push this forward. So my message is more to Paula and Jenny to reconsider and pull this application and make this a long-term rental for a family. A three-bedroom, two-bath space in this area in our neighborhood is really hard to find for people. And so I'm pulling at your heartstrings, at your sense of social justice. Withdraw this application and make it a long-term rental for 5 or 10 years. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any questions for this speaker? Commissioner Ortiz?
Do you know anything about this property that would make it not a good candidate to be a short-term rental?
other than it just how moving somebody outside of the central city. So I don't think there's probably anything under what the what you as commissioners can do that would make it not a, I mean, I think legally it's probably there. Ethically, I don't think it should be a short-term rental.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Seeing none, thank you for being here, Ms. Banks. Next speaker, come forward.
DDOCKIN 804 Egan Street. Yeah, it'd be great if it was a long-term rental. And even though it's not 300 feet from a licensed short-term rental, I think 200 block of McBain has two, at least two. So it is pretty dense there, and what a great neighborhood. I didn't realize these people were neighbors there. But the reason I came here is I was upset with the, I didn't know about the history of the house, but upset with the extra driveway, extra concrete. And it looks like everyone's on the same page with that. So I'm very glad that if it is a short-term rental, it'll be for four people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dolphin. Any questions? No. Thanks, Dee. Anyone else to speak on this case, please come forward. Normally I say only one person at the podium at a time, but we'll make an exception in this case.
Hi, I'm Jessica Simpson. I reside at 652 Hunt Ridge Drive, and I will be the host on Paula and Jenny's property. I am a realtor, so they contacted me. Actually, they had another realtor. They contacted me through Airbnb, and because there's like a thing that you can like reach out if you want someone to host your property. And so they were like, hey, we have a realtor in Columbia that we've been like talking to, but we want you to manage our property once we get one. And I was like, okay, well, I'm also a realtor actually, so what kind of are you looking for in a property? And so they told me some of their like requirements, and I was like, okay, I know exactly what neighborhood we need to look at. We need to look at West Ash because they are, Paula is an artist. Jenny's a teacher. They want to be able to walk to the farmer's market. They want to be able to just like be on foot as much as possible. And so I was like, I just knew, being familiar with Columbia, that this is going to be the neighborhood that they were happiest in. And I, maybe I'm speaking like for her, but it does get like nervous up here. But ever since whenever the whole time I've been talking to them, they told me they would retire in about 2 years. So I've never heard anything about 5 to 10 years. And we closed, I can't even remember, I kind of still have like pregnancy brain, I think, but we closed on the house. It's been at least a couple months, or beginning of October, I guess, actually. And they were kind of like, we would love to come to Columbia for Thanksgiving with our family. Can we wait? And I was like, we can wait until March if you want to. Like, I'm not in any rush. I'm not pushing you. Like, this is your property. This is the point. This is why you want to do this, is because you, and I told them, I said, if we need to wait 2 years to find the perfect property, like, we need to find the perfect one. I'm not a realtor who's just like, I don't just sell people houses to make money. Like, I sell people houses to help them build a life. And I knew, I actually kind of, we looked at properties all over Columbia, and I had a feeling, I was like, I think this is the one, like, I think you're gonna be so happy here, and this is where you're gonna want to live. And we walked away from it. No one put it under contract. So there was plenty of time for other people to put this property under contract. If one of the neighbors wanted to live there, there was plenty of time. And that did not happen, and so it kind of, like, they almost gave up. And Jenny was like, can we, like, it'd be great if we found a house for my birthday. And I was like, well, McBain's still there. And I was like, I'm surprised because it was so affordable. And I was like, this is really going to be the perfect house for you. Like, they wanted, like, an older home. And I was like, this one is, I don't like to, I, like, it makes me nervous to sell, you know, the older, like, bungalow homes because they were built 50, 80 years ago. And there's so many foundation issues. And I was like, I just know this is going to be the perfect house for you to retire in. You're not going to end up spending $50,000 just to fix things. Like, it's perfect for you guys as it is. Like, you don't have to make any changes to it. And so that's kind of the story on, like, why we kind of picked this exact house. Because I knew this is the neighborhood that, like, they will love the neighbors. The neighbors will love them. I think they will just, like, fit in very well. And so I think that, and their goal, they want to be here often. Like they have already came down 4 or 5 times since we've started looking for homes. And I love them. Like that's the thing about like a lot of my real estate clients, I just end up like being very good friends with them. And I just care about them. And I think that, I really think they will fit in this neighborhood. And yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Simpson. You might want to pick up the pop thing. Any questions for this speaker? Commissioner Stanton, did you have something?
Yes. Yeah. So you're an agent for other Airbnbs?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I'm confused on what like the designated agent mean, because you said like would a family member be better?
So the designated agent, okay. So the designated agent is the person that we call at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
it's going
me.
Down.
I don't sleep
it's
ever,
party.
So.
It can't happen.
Yes.
Who's
yes.
coming to make that right?
Yes, that's that would be me. Yes.
Okay.
I would prefer you to call me than one of her family members who.
Okay.
Not answer the phone.
I'm trying to think. Have you been here before us as an agent for somebody's other property?
No.
Okay. I told you my requirements.
Yeah.
I've got to be. I built this house, so I'm just going to own it. I built this house with youth in a neighborhood that is historically African American. With African American history bleeding through it, it's bleeding through my veins right now. How are you going to show me you're going to maintain this house and its history and its integrity and all of that and get the right people to rent it and all of that? Convince me.
So I have been a host for 10 years. I have been a host. I started hosting in California. Then I started managing. My next job was managing Airbnbs, multiple Airbnbs, remotely from Florida. I did that for years. I never had one single issue managing from Missouri. I went down. I set up a team. So if I can do it from, you know, half of the country away, I can do it. I am doing it. I know what I'm doing. I have a handyman on staff. I don't have my own staff, but, you know, he's my 1099 guy. I have cleaners, and maybe this home is not going to directly to a family, but my cleaners are all single moms. Like, I'm a single mom. This is why my baby is here right now. So all of my cleaners are actually, like, the city regulations are really hurting my cleaners, to be honest, because most of my Airbnbs are pulling out, and they're begging me. They're like, please, we need more work. And I'm like, I'm trying. I operate one of my own properties, and it's at a loss. And I like have had to take it off because of the Airbnb regulations. And so I'm looking for opportunities to give these moms, because they're working full-time jobs. And they're cleaning. They want to clean every single day after they get off work to make more money, because I pay them very well, like better than anybody else. And so I wish I can bring them and they can speak. They know how I run it, and they help me. We're a team. Like, my cleaners have access to all the messages. So if there's a chance that I'm asleep at 3 a.m. and one of them's awake, one of them like watches the messages like a hawk. I'm like, okay, let me do my job sometimes. But she will step in if for some reason I'm asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning and someone has an issue. So, I mean, that doesn't really ever happen, to be honest. But I have a tight ship, and my properties, they're always like the nicest on the block. I mean, for a short-term rental, you can't have like someone drive up to a scraggly property with unmowed grass and trash in the yard. Like, that's going to get a bad review. It has to look better than any other property on the street.
Would the owner be open to the midterm kind of rental, mm-hmm. like for nurses that are here for 3 months, blah, 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 blah,
oh,
blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah, and I have a lot, because I'm a realtor, I have people that we have like a listserv. And so it'll be like, I have someone looking. And so I put those, honestly, now I'm trying to move a lot of Airbnbs over to midterm, which it's like kind of a rock and a hard place, because it's like then the city's not getting any money for that. And my cleaners don't get to clean every week. They're only cleaning every 3 months. So it kind of, it's easier on me because I don't have to message everybody all the time. But yeah, I told them that there's, you know, we have the 210 night maximum, but if we want to fill it up more than that, then we can turn it over to midterm rental and just get both, not permit, I guess, rental occupancy compliance.
Any other questions? I've got a couple. So have you also helped them put in an application for a long-term rental occupancy permit?
We haven't done anything yet because they haven't, they closed on it a couple of months ago, and she said she hasn't lived there, but she's been basically staying right there the whole time since.
But did you help them fill out this application, or were you helping them with that at all, or did they just do this part on their own?
They did it on their own.
Okay. You manage, and I say manage, you host other properties.
Yes.
You understand that.
Yeah, the lake, other
right.
places, Hartsburg.
You understand the difference between hosting and being the designated agent, right? Like,
I think there's a blurred line. I think it's the same thing. If there's any issue, someone's going to call me. If there's an issue with a guest, if there's an issue with the city, I'm the point of contact.
Well, the difference is the designated agent is responsible in the city's eyes for what happens on the license.
Yes.
There is another property that I believe you manage, 3408 Eastham Drive.
Yes.
That was before us last week.
I think it was.
Or 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Our last meeting. Not last week. Okay. Our last meeting. One of my concerns there was it sounded like there wasn't good communication. So can you explain how you as the host communicate with the owners? Because presumably you're not sitting on the owner's escrow account or something to do all of these repairs and stuff. Like it's not your property. You have to get permission. So how do you communicate with the owners of the property if something goes wrong?
I mean, so say a guest says, hey, there's a toilet running. Then I tell the owner, hey, we need to get someone in. Do you need me to get it, or do you have a person to come today? Like a toilet running, we need to do it immediately. It's not like, oh, the dryer went out and we'll do it next week, you know? So is that what you're asking?
Yeah, what I'm asking is, like if, unlike if you are just the host and somebody else is the designated agent, if the police get called while there are guests there and you're the host, you're never going to hear from the police. But you are going to hear from the police if you're the designated agent. The city is going to be calling you, and you have to respond. And then, and I think my concern may be too strong of a word, but I want to make sure that you understand that your obligations go beyond advertising the property. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I totally step in that role. They've asked me that. Like, that's now, if there was something that has never happened on any of my properties, but if that were to happen, I would expect for the police to call me, and I would expect to be the one to respond.
Mm-hmm. Because you're the listed designated agent.
Because I'm the host. But yes, and I think this supports what you're saying, it's one to me. Mm-hmm. There's not like a difference. Just because they're different, a homeowner, yes, but I like, you know, Airbnb becomes passive only when you don't have to do anything, right? Short-term rental. And so I want this to be passive opportunity for my owners. They can be involved as they want. They can be in their property as much as they want. But I am taking care of organizing everything, any issues, any repairs.
Okay.
Makes sense?
It does. And again, I'm just...
if something were to happen and the police were to contact me, I would absolutely welcome that.
There's frontline response, which would be you, and then there's ultimate responsibility, which would be the owners.
Yes.
My concern is to make sure that when you are contacted as the frontline response, you are also communicating that to the owners every time without fail.
Oh, yeah. That's no problem. I've never had police contact me for any of these I've ever had.
I'm not talking about necessarily police, but also like neighborhood services for grass being too long, or the trash bins being out, or neighbors complaining about marijuana smell, or any of that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're crossing over with East Ham right now, and we didn't get contacted for that. So,
and see, this is what I want to make sure is that since you are the designated agent, if you hear about things like that, which I don't think, I'm not saying that's going to be a problem at this property, but what I am saying is you have an obligation to report everything you hear to the owners. And I want to make sure that you understand that that is more serious now that you're on the official paperwork as a registered agent than if you're just the host in a way that is not legally binding under the laws of licensure of the city. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I already like have that expectation.
Okay.
So that doesn't seem like a new, you know, like a new avenue or a new role for me.
Thank you. Any other
questions?
Commissioner Stanton.
How many do you have any properties in the central city that you host or designated agent for?
I have two of my own. One is a midterm. One has been an Airbnb. I'm trying to decide if I'm in the process of selling it or I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Since I have my baby, my family stays there a lot because they're not located in Columbia, so we all go and stay there because it's bigger than my property. So I don't know what if I might turn it into a midterm. I'm kind of emotionally attached to it, but I don't know yet what to do with that one. There's no one in it now. It's vacant.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none. Thank you for being here tonight. I believe everyone's had a chance to speak. Yes. Then I will close public comment and we will go to commissioner comments. Are there any commissioner comments on this case? Oh, sorry, Jesse, yes.
If I may, Madam Chair, I've got a couple comments before we proceed.
Please.
With this, just as I don't want to confuse the issues. This is actually meant to clarify some commissioner questions. I looked at the recorder of deeds on this property, and to Commissioner Walter's point and a couple other questions, Job Point conveyed this property in 2013. The applicant is a third subsequent. There's 3 degrees of separation from Job Point to the applicant. Looking at the initial deed conveying from Job Point to the initial buyer, I see nothing in a restriction. However, even if there were, or I'm missing something, much like an HOA restrictive covenant, that is for Job Point to enforce and not the city. Second point, question for Commissioner Stanton. Although you have no financial investment in this case, which would require you to recuse yourself, look, it sounds like you have some emotional investment. Are you certain that you can be objective and dispassionate in your vote tonight?
I think the record will show you that I am. That's number one. Number two, I've built so many I couldn't remember myself until somebody reminded me of such. That's number two. I'm passionate about a lot of things that happen in this commission. It's never swayed my vote on anything. So to answer your question, I think the record will reflect the answer that you seek.
Very good.
That.
Yep, that's all for me.
Thank you. Any Mr. Zinner, yes?
So I to add on to Mr. Craig's comments, I happen to have our housing an affordable housing fee waiver ordinance in front of me. The affordable housing fee waiver ordinance was originally adopted in 2016, many years after this home was constructed, and actually 3 years after the home was sold from Job Point. The current ordinance which was amended in 2018 to include provisions dealing with short or accessory dwelling units being added, also provided a time period in which repayment should a CHOTO, a housing authority taking housing entity taking money from the city to build that home, established a 5-year term limit for repayment. So this home was sold from Job Point in 2013. According to the assessor's records, it was built in 2011. So whatever the conveyance was at that point, it was actually purchased in 2009 from the former owner by Job Point. 2009 to 2011 was when the home was built. It was not sold until 2013. I would suggest to you that if the ordinance that we currently have that deals with housing fee waiver were in place, which it was not, all obligations for repayment would have been expired by this point.
Thank you. Any other commissioner comment? Commissioner Stanton.
To defend myself, I think I made that clear to both parties that need to hear that. I made that clear that had probably expired by the time this situation came up. So been on the record and that's been said.
That's fair. I just wanted to get that on the record.
Okay.
You know, this isn't an attack or a doubt that you can do that. I just wanted to get on the record that you can be dispassionate.
I'm a good counterpuncher either way.
Yep.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure that we all understand from a staff perspective, this is a topic that generally does not come up from an evaluation perspective, though the ordinance that would be applicable would be beginning in basically 2016 and moving forward. So homes that may have taken fee waiver responsibilities as a 5-year window before they may be resold without having to do any repayment. The ordinance currently that is in place also restricts the use of a short-term rental, or I apologize, an accessory dwelling unit being converted to a short-term rental, specifically called out, and that was a component that was adopted in 2018. So if you took a fee waiver for a ADU, it cannot be used for short-term rental purposes, and that's very explicit. So we will take note of this particular conversation this evening as we potentially look through further applications as they come in. Depending on the area that they are in, it could be more pronounced that we may need to be more diligent in that evaluation. So that was the only reason I wanted to bring up the points that I have brought up. We do have means by which to evaluate those types of homes that have received city funding that used fee waiver, and then we can verify that as well.
And it is a pertinent discussion because unless you have a trigger, you wouldn't know. Like this house, where if a land trust person had a home and tried to make it a short-term rental, and how would we catch that? Due to the fact we are in a central city, there's been a lot of properties that have had affordable housing assistance. So that's why this is a very relevant question, and I'm glad that we have an answer to that. But it will come up if we start addressing central city homes in that way.
Commissioner Gray, do you have something?
I think I have a question for Mr. Zinner. I know we've talked before in other cases about some of the tensions between the priorities of policies within the comprehensive plan. And I guess I'm wondering if there are any like considerations with the policies around livable and sustainable communities, given the information that we've received today, that we might want to consider.
I mean, a livable and sustainable community is consistent of a variety of housing typologies with people of varying purposes of why they may own property and the incomes that are going to be evolved with that. The ability to provide housing that offers something that is not what traditionally may be provided does meet an objective. And so short-term rental usage of a single-family dwelling unit or an apartment unit that is within a broader building, as we have seen, offers opportunities to create livable environments for short-term rental tenants that aren't interested in a midterm rental. They are here enjoying our community. So I would suggest to you that it is part of an overall broader concept. specifically the regulatory development process that we went through with spacing requirements, with licensure limitations, all of those conditions that are part of the evaluation process are designed to ensure that we are not bleeding away the opportunity to leave affordable housing. Private property rights and the ability to acquire property for personal purposes and usage is something that exists, and it is a tension that we do have to address. As Mr. Stanton pointed out, this process was created so property owners who desired to use this vehicle had to come and get approval. They had to come and ask for permission. And because this is not their principal residence, it is elevated that much higher to the conditional use stage. If this was their principal home and they wanted to exit the home up to 120 nights annually, they could do that without having to be before anybody. We wouldn't have put a sign out front. They would have sought to get a license and been able to have operated the house in an exact same way. Because they are not the primary tenant and they want more, or the primary resident, and they want more than 120 nights, they come through this process. And so conditionally, I mean, I think when we weigh the, when you have to weigh the scale, you have to put it on the scale and you have to weigh it, spacing requirements, compliance with other technical standards, and then the purview of the commission to say, well, the applicant indicated they wanted 210 nights. Is 210 nights appropriate? Maybe we want more midterm rental in this neighborhood, not as much short term. That is within the purview of this body. You can restrict with the acceptance, with or without the acceptance of the applicant. It's best if you get the acceptance of the applicant, or you can restrict the total number of guests based upon what the site's capable of accommodating. And Paula is correct, Ms. Gladen is correct. In the discussions with me in preparation of this application, as we have done in several other applications, we suggested ask for more than you know you are capable of to avoid the opportunity that should the use be successful, that you can make the improvement necessary and not come back through the process. We get through this once. But we, from an administrative perspective, will not allow that license to be any greater than what the capacity of the property is at the time of licensure. So that is why they are seeking, that's why the application says six. It was at the advice of staff. And at the advice of staff, to answer Ms. Galloway-Jones's question, they have not sought long-term rental at this point, because if they seek long-term rental separate from short-term rental, they are subject to a dual payment of fees and separate inspections. If they do it together as a single application, it is one inspection and one inspection fee, and that would be more consistent with the processing of this application. First, figure out if you are going to be approved for a short-term rental use, and if you're not, if you are, you haven't expended extra money. If you are not, you're going to spend the same amount of money to get the long-term rental license in order to make this property viable as an income property in your absence. And so that is the general approach we take with many of our applicants. If the time frame is so long and they are eager to begin receiving revenue from a midterm rental, we will advise them to apply for the short or the long-term rental license prior to even coming here in order to save the 2.5 to 3 month delay that they will be having to carry that house without any possible revenue. And that would be very consistent with making sure that that home is available for long-term, more long-term related tenants. In this particular instance, this applicant has not indicated an interest in doing that. So that's why they have not applied for the long-term rental license.
Thank you. Anything else, Commissioner Gray? Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Dar?
I'm willing to support four, maximum of four guests.
Commissioner Brodsky?
Yeah, I'll echo what Commissioner Dar's statement. You know, just looking at the items that we look at when we approve these, I think to kick this up to six guests with a giant concrete parking pad out front would not be in character with the neighborhood, and it sounds like the applicant is agreeable to that four guest limitation. So I would be in support of this application with that maximum of four transient guests.
Any other commissioner comment? Seeing none, would anyone like to make a motion?
I would.
Go ahead, Commissioner Walters.
And for the benefit of the audience, all motions we make are in the affirmative. Regarding case number 11-2026, I recommend approval of that requested STR CUP subject to maximum occupancy of 4 transient guests, maximum of 210 nights of annual rental usage, and that the one-car garage be made available when the dwelling is used for STR purposes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Walters, seconded by Commissioner Ortiz. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Brodsky, if you're ready, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Stanton?
No.
Commissioner Stockton?
No.
Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Dar?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
No.
Commissioner Gray?
No.
And Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
The motion is a tie, so I believe that will be no recommendation.
That will be no recommendation, which I believe is treated negatively at City Council.
Correct, and it will go under old business.
It will go under old business, which means that it will have a full public hearing and not be on the consent agenda. And I can't tell you what the schedule is, but call tomorrow and you can get that information from neighbor, or from Mr. Zinner. Okay. That was our last case for the evening. So with that concluded, we'll go to public comments. Are there any public comments of a general nature? Seeing none, we will go to staff comments. Mr. Zinner.
Your next meeting will be on December 4th. So we do have a couple of items, and we, as I think I have maybe previously said, we are in a seasonal slowdown, so our agendas are becoming a little bit less intense. You have 2 cases. That's it for December 4, and we will have a work session, a standard work session, at 5:30 that same evening. You have a permanent zoning request that is just to the southeast of the Gans Recreation Center cross-country area. And this is a request to basically take in county RS property, which is equivalent to our city R1 single family dwelling property, for the purposes of being able to extend city sewer to serve the property and allow it to be, if I'm not incorrect, developed or redeveloped with an existing single family home. And it is a contiguous parcel, so this would be a direct annexation. A separate annexation hearing would be held on this as well. And then we have a request for approval of a R1 ADU CUP. This is something that we do not see very frequently. This is off of South Glenwood. And that is, given the fact that it is in the R1, it requires the conditional use permit. There is a series of standard review criteria that we will evaluate, as well as there is generally a standard condition to the conditional use permit that the commission has chosen to apply, that only one of the dwelling units may be in the rental program. That would be addressed as a part of the commission's recommendation and will be covered in the staff report. So you know where we're talking about, our parcel that is seeking permanent zoning upon annexation. They're just south of the city's boundary, and then our ADU CUP request off of South Glenwood. In regards to the question that Ms. Dockin asked this evening, the City of Columbia's Parks and Recreation Department, in coordination with our public works staff, would need to prepare proper legal descriptions and applications for the rezoning of any city-owned property. There have been very few occasions in where the city Parks and Recreation Department has sought rezoning of parkland. Most parkland within the City of Columbia is zoned R1, and the legal description that is prepared by our city land surveyor. The city land surveyor is also responsible for doing all other land surveying functions as it relates to all capital projects that we have within the city. And therefore, unless the priority is identified for the surveying of other city-owned assets that need to be rezoned, such as our parks, that is one reason we do not see many of them. R1 is a city-owned property. They have often been granted to us through conveyances of trusts and things of that nature. We have possibly used federal dollars by which to make improvements to said parks, and therefore really the potential for redevelopment of a said park under the R1 zoning designation, given some of the strings that are attached as its use as a city asset, often doesn't occur. We can try to identify in a more direct way that the zoning of a particular property adjoining a site that is owned by city that is owned by the city and what its use is, at this point we leave normally the rezoning action of municipal property to the departments that own it and seeking it. The only property that I can tell you that we have formally rezoned, and we rezoned it out of plan district to the open space district, was the Phillips Farm or Phillips Lake Park down on the south end of town, and that was to eliminate the planned designation as it was moving forward for the purposes of construction of the field house as well as the fishing facilities that are down there and any other future improvement. We have only opted to utilize O zoning in the city on privately owned property out at Old Hawthorne. The golf course, portion of the golf course is under O1, even though the majority of the golf course out there is actually R1. And then Midway Golf and Games is the only other property that we have within the corporate limits that actually has a portion of their property zoned O. It is a very, very small percentage of our land area that has actually used that zoning classification. We can talk with our Parks and Recreation partners, as well as our public works staff who manages all city land, to determine if there is a program or a process that they anticipate on trying to bring these properties maybe into more compliant zoning classifications, and we can report that back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. And I made a note on my ongoing list, but I do not want to delay small lots.
No.
Thank you.
It's a simple phone call, ma'am.
You say that. Very good. Commissioner comments. Any comments from my fellow commissioners? Any motions from my fellow commissioners? Commissioner Stanton.
Short-term rental case we just heard, there is no statute of limitations, correct?
They can reapply at
any
time.
Reapply.
Let's clarify this, because the East Ham applicant reapplied the Monday after it was denied at this body. Without a withdrawal of the denied application, we cannot receive an application for reconsideration. We have an active case. That active case must complete the process. So you will not be able, an applicant is not capable of resubmitting a denied short-term rental unless they withdraw the denied short-term rental. And there is no attachment of a 12-month period on that. That's typical for any other land use related action. Or they have to let it play out through the council process.
Okay.
If it's denied at council, then they can come back.
Okay.
And just so while we have everyone here and those in TV land are wondering when this is going, the second reading of this particular case will be scheduled for the first meeting in January. Which, if I am not incorrect, will be January 5th of 2026.
January 5th, okay.
If you'll hang on just a minute, we'll close it out and then we'll chat with you. Anyone like to make a motion or have further comment?
I make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Commissioner Walters. Motion to adjourn made by Commissioner Walters, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Without objection, we stand adjourned.